pressing the button. I've pressed the button.
I am so excited. How long has it taken us to actually press that button?
Good half an hour.
We've been sat here debating how we was going to start.
I know.
Our first podcast. Well, anyway, we're in it now.
Yeah. I was going to say,
we've got to just go for it.
The best thing with us is just to dive in.
Absolutely.
And here we are.
Yep.
Wow.
Reminiscing.
It's quite nice, actually, isn't it, to have the opportunity to go back to the beginning and talk about how we met, and because it really does feel like a very long time ago.
Absolutely, ages.
How things have changed.
Yes. Yeah, I think we've changed.
Do you think we've grown up?
Never.
No.
Never.
Exactly.
How have we changed then? I think we were very naive then. I think we didn't really.
Is that the royal
know.
We or both of us?
Royal.
That means just you.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh,
the royal we means just me.
Oops. Sorry. No, that's.
Because I think you've always been a little bit more naive than me.
Rubbish.
It's true. Don't go there. No. Otherwise, we'll start. There's all sorts of things I could say at this point.
Okay. We won't go there.
So, okay. Back on track.
No, I think we were naive. Mm-hmm. And I think we didn't really know where we were going. We were still finding our feet. And it was quite a. It was an unexpected meeting, and the way our friendship developed, you know, you couldn't have written it, really.
Yeah, I think I thought I knew where I was going, but clearly,
you didn't.
You know, the path
you didn't,
changed.
You got somewhere completely different.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay.
There are some similarities there, but I think.
So let's start at the very beginning.
The very beginning.
Very, very beginning. You so start. There I am.
Yep.
Last of my children, safely ensconced in school.
Yep.
And I decide I want to go into business on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So, cutting a very long story short, I decide that my creative outlet would be best served in a small creative business. Particularly wanting, I can remember being particularly keen to have some sort of business that encouraged people to have a go themselves, to encourage children. Because I can remember at the time there wasn't an awful lot, and still I think not an awful lot of activity opportunities on the curriculum at school. And I wanted to be able to give something.
So, like, you mean for crafts?
For crafting and things like that.
You heard that, was my elbow cracked.
Don't wave your arms around quite so much then.
No.
I can remember wanting to do that. And one of the hardest things for me was finding what the vehicle was that I was going to use. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being teddy bears.
Why? Why did you choose teddy bears?
Because they have always been and will always be popular with all ages. At that particular time, the premises I chose, it fit really nicely in that cutesy sort of village setting.
Mm-hmm.
And also because there were so many facets to the teddy bear. So we had stories, poems, songs, artwork, and then obviously the classic toy. Okay. And then from the toy, there's all the artist bears and such like. So there I am with my new teddy bear shop, particularly keen to sell handmade and artist bears, but with my little studio attached where I could offer crafting get-togethers, lessons, workshops, birthday parties. And then
going back to in November, I think it was a November day, because you haven't been open very long.
I haven't been open very long.
And I bounced in.
Oh my goodness. Wow, what can I say? I was absolutely terrified.
So at that time I was making teddy bears as a teddy bear artist, and I was selling them at various outlets, working for myself, designing and doing my own thing. And I'd heard about this new teddy bear shop that opened.
That's me. That was you.
So I thought, I need to get and see this lady and see what she's up to and see if she would like my bears in her shop.
Rabbits.
Don't go back to the rabbit.
All right, okay.
No, you've mentioned it now, haven't
you? I'm sorry, just keep going, sorry.
I'm going to have to put it in. So I walk into the shop one day with a basket full of bears that I've made and a rabbit.
Well, I just, sorry, keep going. I'm sorry, I must stop interrupting you.
So the rabbit, I loved this little rabbit. It was really beautiful. And I did my spiel. Hello, I'm Amanda. I'm a teddy bear artist, local, blah, blah, blah. Would you be interested in my, I'm cutting this very short, by the way, but would you be interested in selling my bears? And she looked in the basket and said, the bears are fine, but I don't want the rabbit. It's a teddy bear shop.
It's a teddy bear shop. And, you know, you've got to stay focused on what you set out to do.
Yeah, but the New Forest is full of rabbits. I thought it was quite apt.
Well, he was a cute rabbit. It's not I didn't like him. Mm. It's just at that time I didn't think he fit in my sort of particular
remit. I've forgiven
you.
I've forgiven you.
But we did manage to sell him.
Yes, we did.
By chopping off his ears and turning him into a bear.
Oh, don't say that. I'm awful now. Poor thing. No, he was a beautiful rabbit.
So what did I say then when you offered me, apart from me saying I don't want the rabbit?
No, first of all, what did you think when I walked in?
I was quite scared because...
Why?
Not that you looked scary. I mean, every day pink ladies walk in with bright pink hair. And I think it was just that I was so new and I was trying to be so professional. And my experience of actual artist bears and things was limited.
Mm.
So I was very aware that I had to be the one that was looking at your work and thinking, you know, is this good enough for my shop?
Of course it was.
Well, I know it was, but I had to kind of make you believe I knew what I was talking about. And at that time I was quite sort of...
I saw right through it.
So I was sort of poor, and I could barely even operate the till. And kept, you know, when I opened that shop, I didn't even know how to operate the till. So, I mean, it was really quite, the whole thing, all joking aside, was quite scary and, you know.
Okay, so taking it back. So I come in, you looking a little bit nervous, but you seem to know what you were talking about.
Oh, yes, good.
Bluffed your way through that one really well.
Thank you.
And you made a kind of deal with me that you would have my bears in your shop. As long as I would spend one day a week to start with?
Yes, if you could at the weekend, you know, just passing trade and all that.
So I would sit there and I would demonstrate me making bears and share my skills and knowledge with other people.
Mm.
So when your customers came in, they could come over and have a chat and I would show them.
And I always, always, and I keep going back to this when we have these conversations, when somebody goes to a craft fair or some sort of special event and they sort of look down their noses at something and say, have you seen the price of that? Or I wouldn't pay that for that. Now, I understand because I know that handmade items and the time that goes into them means that people will have to pay a lot of money for them. And I also understand that those items might not be to everybody's taste, but it annoys me if people don't realise why that item costs that money. I don't mind if they don't want the item in the end or if it's not to their taste, but they need to walk away knowing why that item has cost what it does. And I've always been very passionate about that.
Absolutely. In fact, it's really sad that I think there are people out there making beautiful, beautiful things, but they don't make a lot of money because people won't pay for the time that it takes to do it. And the passion that these people have got is what keeps them going, not necessarily
absolutely
what they're earning from it. And it is very, very sad. Mm. So I liked the fact that you wanted to show people what went into these items. And so we were able to kind of... strike a bargain, as it were.
It wasn't hard, though, was it?
No,
I think we got on pretty well straight away.
We did, didn't we?
Yeah. Just sort of clicked.
I'll let you into a secret now.
Okay.
That first Saturday, I was terrified.
Was I that scary?
Well, no, because it was just the whole, gosh, I've got to, you know, I didn't know. I knew what you wanted me to do, but I wasn't quite sure how it was going to work. And But it was fine, absolutely fine.
But you know, you saying that actually, and I'm saying this from the heart and fully truthfully, we have that relationship, although we've been really good friends and we've been through a lot together.
We have.
We have a respect for each other, which I think is really, really important in any relationship. And I think that obviously that was set right from the word go, because I was nervous. I appreciated the skills and the work that you'd done over my own experience. And also you obviously felt, you know, you'd got to talk, do a sales pitch to someone who you thought was an experienced business person. Yeah. But it is, and we've, our relationship has always been on that sort of level of sort of respect, which I think is quite special and quite rare.
We are very, very lucky to have found each other.
What happened next?
I didn't have enough space.
That's true. That didn't take long, did it?
I'm sorry, Julie. If you want me to, I can't work under these circumstances. If you want me to do this, you're going to have to give me more space.
I don't think you were quite that much of a diva. I don't remember that. But what I do remember, particularly on those quieter days, which we did see a few, because it was a very long, thin shop, I can remember getting sort of all set up, and there were you at one end, and there was I completely at the owner, just sort of twiddling our thumbs going,
"You're right,
up there." It sort of seemed a bit ridiculous. Yes. Apart from the fact that you did create and always have created a lot of mess, and we just couldn't contain you in the space I had provided.
So I moved from a little table in the corner to the other end of the shop. And then I moved from the shop into the craft studio.
Yeah.
And then we had to make a huge decision then.
Yeah. I think we ticked along quite comfortably like
we
that
did.
For a while.
We did.
But with the amount of interest in the work that you were doing and the more people coming in and watching, we would always get those questions. Do you remember? Can you repair? Can you repair? All the time. To the point where we said, well, come on then, let's
give it a go.
If you can't find anybody to repair your bear, then why would we not give it a try? And before long, I forget how long actually, but it must have been a little while, it became so hard for me to clear away and keep safely other people's property within the studio before I set up for a birthday party, which might have involved clay and paint and birthday cake.
And bears don't go in that environment very much.
No. So
they really
we I can remember that decision was quite a big decision to say, look, let's not do these craft events anymore. We're going to turn this over to restoration and solely restoration.
And then we opened up the Barty,
Bristol Hotel and Spa
for teddy bears.
Funny.
Yeah,
and you know,
we're
reminiscing and we're smiling about all this, but nobody took us seriously, did they?
No.
It was actually quite hard to be taken seriously just because of the sheer nature of what we were doing.
So do you remember that day when we got into the press over the Barty Brittle? The Barty Bristol Hotel and Spa. And
that was awful.
I wasn't there that day.
That was,
you were absolutely.
That was my
panicked.
First experience of how media can be slightly, what's the word, sort of loose
invasive.
With the truth.
and
oh my goodness.
A little bit invasive sometimes, but they're doing a job.
And we didn't have the experience or support, I would say, to sort of protect ourselves, really. And I can remember that day because I was in tears the following day. So this article had gone out in a local newspaper, all sort of up in the air and very silly, but the crux of it was that we were charging some exorbitant price.
I think what they'd got wrong was I think they'd asked us what was the average price for a restoration or something like that and we'd said, I don't know, it varies, but I think at the time it was something like £80 or something like that. Was it something like that?
Probably.
And then it got into the press that we were charging £80 a night for a teddy bear to stay at our hotel. And somebody happened to say something like, you know, with there's children starving in this world and they're charging, what, you know.
But what made the story so enormous was that it ended up in the Metro.
We had never heard of it.
You and I had never even heard of the Metro. What's the Metro? And people, so all those people were reading this, and the comments online were very unpleasant, weren't they?
Yeah, it wasn't very, very nice, but...
I can remember the next day, you weren't in, as you said, and the phone did not stop.
I know.
The phone just didn't stop. I'd never experienced anything like that before in my life. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to answer the questions. I didn't know what I should or shouldn't say or anything. And in the end, I just sort of sat quivering in the back office with the phone ringing. And a friend of mine from up the road happened to come in at the time. And fortunately, she sort of took over. She had a brother in the industry who she phoned immediately and said, "Help my friend." And we laugh about it now.
Yeah, because that was our first foray, wasn't it, into the media, into media.
Yeah.
And, you know, how they can distort things and change. But I tell you what we haven't sort of explained here. We've talked about this Barty Bristol. Who's Barty Bristol?
Who's Barty Bristol? Mm. Well, so before we met, I designed my logo, of course, for the shop for all my sort of admin and bits and pieces. And the little... bear, the little pencil sketched bear, which I did myself, that sits amongst the name Bear It In Mind. I just had this dream that I wanted him to become a proper character. So we asked you, didn't I?
You did.
Can we make
an
actual bear that represents the shop? He didn't have a name then.
No, he didn't. We did a competition.
We did, yeah.
To make him a name.
But how many, was it two or three? Three you had to make before I was happy with them.
Two prototypes.
Two.
So
that's
a little
not
bit
bad.
A little bit of tweaking before we got the Barty that you had envisaged. And then we went, we started making them. And we made every single one ourselves by hand.
Yeah, completely by hand. So anybody who's got, because of course we then went on, how many years did we do it? Ten years, I think. And a couple of special editions.
Yes, we did.
So anybody who owns a Barty Bristol,
they are
very rare and made entirely by hand by you and me.
Absolutely.
But we don't have time to make those now. Occasionally, don't we? We make the odd one. But we made one every year.
We did.
We launched it after Christmas and we gave it a theme every year.
Yeah, so there was the original Barty Bristol. Then we did Spa Barty.
Spa Barty to celebrate the opening of the hotel and spa.
Yeah.
Festival Barty.
Festival Barty.
That one looked a bit like a hippie.
He did. He was all tie-dyed, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Kind of pinks and purples.
Hand-dyed mohair that we did ourselves.
We did. Gosh.
We did have fun though, didn't we, making all these and creating
them. We did a Solent, a New Forest. I'm trying to...
Some of the specials we did, one for the Titanic, the 800th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic.
Yeah.
Royal wedding.
William, Prince William and Catherine.
Oh, we did a Great British Barty because so much happened that year.
Olympics.
The Queen had her Diamond Jubilee. Golden Jubilee. No, not golden. I think it was her...
Are you sure it wasn't golden? Because he was a golden colour. I thought maybe we picked that colour because of that.
No. The golden, her golden wedding anniversary, 50 years, was in 2002.
Oh, well. We digress. We do. So there were lots and lots of Bartys along the way.
Yeah.
And
but how did we come to get his name?
We held a competition where people could choose a name, basically. Mm. And Madam over here, Julie, could not make her mind up between...
Well, there were two, weren't there? There were
Barty,
two names.
Which was an anagram of Bear It, and of course your business was Bear It In
and
Mind.
And it had that art reference in the middle. Art.
Yes.
E.
But he was bristly. He had this bristly mohair. So we went out for a meal. Do you remember? We went out for a meal.
Yeah.
And we took the box with all the names in.
And our husbands.
And our husbands, yeah. And we sat there and we opened them all up and chose.
And he became Barty Bristle.
Of Bewley.
Of Bewley. And Lord Montague came, didn't he, to the shop.
Yes.
Not the present Lord Montague, the Lord Montague before.
Yes.
He was very elderly and frail at the time.
Yeah.
And but he came.
And met Barty.
Mm.
And Barty was quite a local celebrity, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah. Did a bungee jump. Do you remember?
Yeah.
He bungee jumped from one of the chimney pots opposite.
Yeah. Not just for any old reason.
No, it was
cystic fibrosis.
That's right, cystic fibrosis. He had quite a fan base.
He did.
And of course, he was the face of the New Forest Teddy Bear Festival, which we ran every year for 5 years.
Yeah.
We've done a lot, girl.
We have. I'm exhausted, actually, just going back over it. We haven't even got
that far yet.
No. I always feel we've got so much more to do. Hence our wonderful name, we've barely begun. Because we've barely begun with all the stories. We've barely begun to unpack half the things that we talk about and that drive us. Because it isn't all about bears.
No, it's not. But I think we both have a similar outlook on life and the same sort of, now we know where we're going. And our ethos, I think, has always been the same.
I do, too. And I think that if we might argue about how to kickstart a podcast. Well, I say argue. It's never as strong as argue.
It's a little debate.
It is.
Yeah.
But when it comes to sort of reasons why we're doing things and how we do things, we're pretty on the ball.
Yeah, people have often likened us to an old married couple.
Because that's very nice of them.
Because we sort of do bicker a little bit.
Finish each other's sentences.
Yeah.
Share pudding.
We do. We can't have a whole pudding. We did today.
Shh, don't say that.
Oops.
So basically our ethos, just to remind you.
Go on then.
Is that we want to continue to interest people and encourage people and promote not just the industry that is teddy bear making and or restoration, but anything really that involves crafts, hand making, the preserving of skills, arts that are dying out, all of those things. And I think just even in my own lifetime, the difference between what we learnt as children, and we're not ancient, but what we learnt as children, or it was quite normal to see, simply doesn't happen anymore. And children no longer see mum sewing on a button or a bit of darning going on or patching up trouser knees and elbows. It just doesn't happen anymore. Or getting out the sewing machine because we want a new summer dress. And
I think it's slowly starting though now to become more to the front. I think people are picking up their tools and their knitting needles and they're starting to create again, which
well, we want people to create. I'm not sure that it'll ever replace what we can go and buy now. I mean, I can remember, I don't know about you, but when we used to have winter clothes and summer clothes. I don't know, is that because the seasons were different than they are now? But we had distinctly different ones in school. We were allowed a summer uniform. And our summer dresses and skirts, when I was in secondary school, were handmade because you couldn't go and buy summer dresses and skirts in your school colours unless you were at a fancy school.
No, I wasn't at a fancy school, but I was allowed to wear any navy blue skirt.
Oh, okay.
So we had a pattern. Going to C&A for that. There are jumpers. Other shops. That DBC and A is not available anymore.
I was
going
to say, there was school, specialist school shops for buying the different coloured jumpers and things like that. Mm. But not, you know, we had purple and white gingham and you couldn't buy school uniform in purple and white gingham.
No.
So we used to go into the haberdashery shop and sit looking, flicking through pattern books, and you can still do that. But this was something that was, you had no choice. We had to go and do it. And sitting there and going, and I can remember Mum always used, we were only allowed to choose a pattern out of the Simplicity book or the Style book. All the other ones she said were foreign and too complicated.
No, Butterick. Because I remember Butterick was a thing.
Didn't ring a bell. No. There were some odd ones like Burda and they were a little bit sort of out there.
I know when I was younger, my mum used to make dresses for me, and I used to have a nice new Christmas cape. And it was trimmed with white fur.
Were you only allowed to wear it at Christmas?
Well, it came at Christmas. I don't remember. A little white furry muff, and I had a she's fallen off the chair now. And a little like white furry Russian hat.
How lovely!
I just remember that Christmas quite distinctly.
And she just ran it up on the machine.
Well, she did it when I didn't know that she was doing this. Right. I wonder why she sat me down. Sorry, I'm gone. But I remember when she sat me down and tried all the kitchen bowls on my head to find out which one fitted. And I think that was how she made my hat.
Didn't she have a tape measure? Couldn't she have just measured round your head?
I don't know. Maybe she needed some sort of form, you know, to put it on.
I think I'd love to have met your mother.
She was lovely. Yeah, you would have loved my mum. She was very funny. Very, very funny. She used to make me laugh a lot. But, I mean, I didn't laugh then.
Oh, no.
I was only looking back on it.
But I just think now it's almost a specialism, isn't it? For people to be able to serve. Yeah. And it's wonderful, and we need to encourage it. Whether we'll ever in this country go back to a point where it's more... economical,
maybe,
to create your own things and wear them, or whether we'll even want to wear things.
It might become more fashionable as we go along,
like darning.
There you go. So.
Yes, wear your darns with pride.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My nan taught me to darn.
Oh no.
Yeah, and to embroider and all those things. And at the time, I thought, I'm never going to do this again.
Yeah.
I used to just do it to be polite, isn't it? But now I love it. You know, and every time I'm sewing, I kind of think, gosh, you know, what a skill she gave me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it needs to be, I think there's more to doing all these craft things and making your own things. It's not just about whether you end up with something at the end of it that you can either wear or whatever. I think it's all to do with sort of self-worth and empowering yourself as well.
Definitely.
A sense of satisfaction, those things that I think are quite, I don't know if they're missing in our society now, but, you know, and that opportunity to sit together with friends and do stuff together.
Lovely. Mm. So moving on from there, what do we do next?
Wow.
So we had the Barty Bristol Hotel and Spa, and then we were working from the studio, weren't we?
Yes. I think probably it was that the decision to let the shop go.
But do you remember those days when we would sit there and we would sometimes go, well, I finished this one, I wonder if we're going to get another one to do.
Yeah.
It really was that.
That's true.
We were literally one in, one out. It was, now we've got so many bears to fix, there's just not enough hours or enough time for us to do it all. But that it was quite hard at that point to see, and when people were kind of laughing at us saying, you'll never make a business out of that, you can't do that as a business, and it was hard to keep going, but I think our passion for what we were doing and the reward was seeing how happy people were,
and I don't think that's changed either. I don't think, I still believe that we do each project with equal sort of passion and importance.
Absolutely.
Setting it, you know, the sort of taking on board what the bear or soft toy means to the person who's brought it to us to have it fixed.
Yeah.
And I think the day that that goes and we no longer care, we shouldn't be doing what we do.
Yeah, definitely. I think from those early days, though, those people, I've always known, because I've always had that love and that passion for teddy bears, but I think those early customers and the pleasure that we gave them and the sheer joy when they got those bears back reinforced what I've always known is teddy bears are so special, soft toys so special to their owner. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that if somebody loves that item or that bear or whatever it is so much, if you've got it in your power to do that for them, then it's
and
got to be
done. And we're still just as nervous returning something as ever just in case.
Every time. It's this feeling of, oh gosh, what if we've got it wrong?
Yeah. But I think, but going back to the shop, I can remember the actual shop itself becoming quite a burden because we became so engrossed in our repair work and the demand for that began to sort of outweigh the demand for new products within a shop that we just decided, I think when the lease came up, what seemed at the time, I can remember at the time thinking it felt like a step backwards because we decided to take the business back into my house where I had accommodation suitable to set up a business separately from my living area.
Mm.
But it almost felt like that maybe was where we should have started and then got a premises, but we were stepping backwards.
Yeah, that's what,
Some people were very sort of, what are you doing?
You must be mad.
But
we've always been known for being a bit crazy and a bit off the wall.
Break the mold a bit,
don't we?
Let's
just do it.
But it was definitely the right move. No regrets at all.
Best thing we've ever done.
Yeah.
Best thing we've ever done. And we've gone from strength to strength, haven't we, since then, really?
Gosh, yeah. And I think, still going.
Yeah. So I think that's another story for another podcast.
We've got
don't
so
you
many.
Think?
Absolutely.
And maybe we can start from there.
Yeah.
On our next one.
Yeah. Might throw in a few hints and tips.
Go on then. What will we talk about next time?
Oh, maybe that.
Hints and tips.
Maybe.
We haven't finished telling our story, have we?
I said we could add a sprinkling.
Okay.
Of hints and tips, maybe.
Okay. All right, then.
People aren't going to constantly want to hear about us, are they?
No.
It took you ages to decide that. I think, no, of course they wouldn't, too. They would have been a far better answer.
Okay, right. So I think this is us signing off, then.
Yeah. Okay. It's been fun.
It has. It's been really good. I've really enjoyed it, actually. So thanks, guys, for listening.
Till next time.
Bye.